We are very thankful this morning that God has blessed us all to wake up to see another day, one that wasn't promised to us. And certainly we know there were some that laid down last night. We're now able to rise to see the sun rise on this morning. And we are prayerful for those kind of people. But we have been blessed, truly, that God has let us see one day more to this point. And we ought to be eternally thankful to God, for it gives us the opportunity not only to hear his word again. If you're on the call this morning, we pray you will open your hearts to receive his word with meekness, understanding it is able to save your soul. There's nothing more precious than we have than our soul salvation. But one day, surely, our heads will press the dying pillow. Our eyes will be closed for the last time, and tongues will be silenced by death. But we want to be sure to rise and see a smiling Savior's face and hear his voice say, well done, that good and faithful servant. If you're on the call this morning and you are a member of the Church of Christ, you're blessed to be a saint in the Lord's kingdom because you've been obedient to him. And that is, you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and that Jesus did die for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried. And he rose again the third day, and that he suffered to save your soul. And you believed that, and you repented of your sins, and you confessed him to be the Son of God, then you were baptized. And that's what qualifies you to be a saint in the Lord's kingdom, the church, the only one you ever read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers of those who are righteous. So certainly you ought to be thankful in your heart this morning that you are a child of God. And to our visitors who may not be members of the Church of Christ, I want you to know that I speak the truth in love, and I want you to be obedient as we have. Those of us who are members of the Lord's Church, understanding that the Bible is right over me, my mama, my daddy, or a preacher. And that God has told us through his word what we must do to be saved. And it was Jesus who commanded that we believe this gospel story of his death, burial, and resurrection, of his suffering. In Mark 16:15-16, it was him who said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So that's exactly what those of us who are members of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, have done to be saved. We want you to be a member as well. We want that to be very clear, that we believe Christians are in the one church. Why do we believe that, Brother Brooks? Because the Bible teaches us. But there is but one body, Ephesians 4:4. And that body is referred to as the church, Ephesians 1:22, Colossians 1:18, Colossians 1:24. There's but one church in the Bible. And Paul speaks of that church in Romans 16:16, when he says, salute one another, holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The churches of Christ all over this world. But they must teach the same thing without addition or subtraction. That's what John said in 2 John 9. The Bible teaches us whosoever transgresseth about it not in the doctrine or the teachings of Christ hath not God. It was in Acts 2:47 when the Bible teaches us, it said, praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So to say they're in the church, which church is it? I made that real clear. It's the Church of Christ. The only one I'd ever tell you about is if I told you any other church, I'd put my own soul at risk. And I can't do that for you and no one else. I think you'll respect that and understand it. I do speak the truth in love. And then by Jesus said it was only going to be a few who made it in. Boy, that's a sad thought. But he said that if you read your Bible, Matthew 7:13 and 14, it was Jesus who said, any year that straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many will go, he said, go that way. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way to lead to life. And few there be to find it. You have to look for that. Be seeking that straight and narrow way to find the one church, the one truth, and be a part of the few who obeyed it. Now you have to remain faithful now. I'm not saying everybody in the Church of Christ is saved, because some of them not living right. Some people in the Church of Christ just have left the Lord and living in sin. And Jesus said that. If you die in your sin, where I am. You can let you know we're going to be studying from the book of Philippians. We just completed the book of Hebrews, and I pray that it was a blessing to you. And we hope and pray that as we go into this direction with the book of Philippians, and as our intent, Brother Stroud, now to bring you into understanding of what God is sending us through right now. We think this book, the book of Philippians, is an appropriate book as we've discussed how we can serve this congregation. We want you to know that we believe this is a great study for us at the time that we're going through. This book, the Philippian letter, it's a letter, an epistle to the congregation of Church of Christ located in Philippi. It's written by the Apostle Paul. Of course, the author of the Bible is God. The Bible said all scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But the Apostle Paul was guided by the Holy Spirit to write this book, and none of the letters of the Bible or private interpretation. Paul, it was Peter who said in 2 Peter 1:20-21, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. The holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit guided Paul. Now, it's interesting, this study of the Apostle Paul. I'm hoping to have some encouraging lessons from this study. Paul actually wrote this letter from the prison cell in Rome around AD 63. It was in Philippi where Paul and Silas, if you remember in Acts, were in prison in Rome, were beaten and cast in the prison. It was in Philippi where the Philippian jailer was converted and baptized. Now, here's some key words that you need to write down if you're keeping notes on this study of this particular letter. This book is known as Paul's Book of Joy. I love this book. One of my favorite quotes is, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. The word joy and rejoice are repeatedly used by Paul. 10 times rejoice, 6 times joy. And simply meaning calm delight. Paul was saying that no matter what the conditions are we're living in, you can have a joy. You know, happiness is different from joy. You know, joy doesn't mean you're not going to cry. You know, you got to change emotions to go from happy to mad or happy to sorrow. But joy can be consistent. Joy can be ongoing no matter what situation you've gone through. You're able to go through it with a calm delight. You know what I mean? I can understand. It's calm delight no matter what we go through. As long as we're dependent on God, there's a sense of comfort coming. There's a sense of calmness. We can remain calm or filled with this joy because we see ourselves as happy or blessed to be children of God. That's the relationship issue. It's not the conditions that create joy. What brings joy to our heart, or we're able to rejoice in a very difficult time, is because of the relationship with God. If you know that, you can look unto the hills from which cometh your help. You can understand that scripture. It says, look unto the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. There is a light at the end of every tunnel. If you see God as light, and that's your joy, that's that calm delight. I don't know. We don't know what we're going to face. We do know there will be difficult times. We can't live in this life and not expect to have some times of difficulties. Sometimes when we will not understand what we're going through or why we're going through or why me, why my family, why now. Why the world? Why what we're seeing in America? Why the pandemic? You know, it's a lot of why are we stuck at home? Why what's going on at the church building? Why are people killing? There was an ambush last night, I heard on the news about a police officer. Just why would they just pull up and kill him like that? You know, we live in a unprecedented time. I think everybody on this call can say, know how old you are, you can be in your 9. There has never been a time like we are seeing now in our lifetime. We haven't seen this. And so we're seeing some things that can bring some emotions of anxiety. It can cause you to wonder what's going on around us. Look for the sign of God's return, Jesus, because this world is in a fix. So let's look at it from a positive light, though. As we look at those difficult things, that's what I want to do this morning. And the sermon title is, "This Thing Happened Unto Me." That's what Paul said. And that's what you need to say this morning. If you know, whatever you're going through. Now, I'm coming into somebody's house, in somebody's life. Most of us should be touched through the message because it happened to you. Just the pandemic, it happened to all of us. Maybe you're sitting with COVID. You thought you had got away. You thought you made it for 2.5 years, and now you got it. Everybody in the house got it. It didn't happen. Maybe it was your mother that passed it out, sister, brother, children. Something happened. Something has happened to me. And the apostle said, this thing. My question, brothers and sisters, I want you to leave this call with thinking about this thing that happened to you. Now, I know you already know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. There's a thing in all of our lives. It just happened. There's a reason for it. So let's listen to Paul there. That's kind of the introduction of what I'm trying to accomplish through my applications I'll make this morning. And we'll be brief this morning because we lost some time there. But let's go to Philippians 1, verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with bishops and deacons. Now, Paul specifically mentions Timothy, and Timothy was a companion of the Apostle Paul. Brothers and sisters, we are saints. Only people who have obeyed the truth is considered a saint. Every Christian that was baptized for remission of sin, member of the church, you are a saint. And that don't mean you got a halo over your head like the world presents. That's not what that's talking about. That means you've been obedient to Christ. You've been washed in his blood. And now you are serving him as a servant of Jesus Christ. He's the master. We've served. That's what that means. But that puts us in the category of saints or the righteous, people who are blessed. So Paul and Timothy was in that category. Paul said that about him and about Timothy. Also, at this congregation, here's our example. The congregation is organized completely, have finished the organization. They're going to have bishops and deacons. Bishops or elders. They're known as overseers, elders, bishop, overseers, presbyter, all the same person. And so that's important for us to know. That in the Bible, so a lot of people refer to preachers as pastors, but the pastor in the Bible was called an elder. Paul referred to them as bishops in Acts 20, verse 17, elders in 2017. In Titus 1:5, Paul told Titus to ordain elders in every city. Titus 1:7. Yeah, he said, for the bishop must be blameless. So we're looking at bishops, elders, presbyter, pastors. When you look at that word, Brother Brooks, I'm not an elder. I'm not a bishop. I'm not a pastor. I'm the minister. I'm the evangelist. This is for those who may not know. But so this church, this congregation was organized with those offices in mind. So Paul is writing to young Timothy. I just want to say to everyone, you need somebody in your life that you can reach out to, no matter if you're female or male, some other saint that can bless your life through conversation. Don't get in your home and get in your situation, whatever this thing that happened to you, and you ain't trying to deal with it all by yourself. We are a family. We are a body. And as it was said today in the prayer, we should be reaching out to those who are going through. And we got all kind of ways of reaching out. You ain't got to pick the phone up anymore. You can send text messages. You can send memes, whatever you call those things. But you can send all kind of encouraging things to people. Emails, phone calls. Text message. You can send cards in the mail because saints stick together. And Paul had Timothy, and he's in this place, in a dark place. but he's found the joy in his heart to reach out to these Philippians. He said, grace be unto you, verse 2, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mind for you, all making requests with joy. That is the first time you see it, underline it. He's making my request with joy. He's saying, I'm okay. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So, verse 6, he said, being confident of this very thing, that he has, which have begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to start. Here's some confidence for us as a congregation of saints. As long as we stay faithful to God, and it's true, God will continue to perform good works through us. There are a lot of great things that God is using us. I see we was talking to some young men yesterday about the pandemic. Can you see the beauty of the pandemic? How much stronger you may be because you've had to study on your own. You've had to listen to the sermon. You've had to make changes. You had to get into the Word to keep your mind together. And so there's a lot of positive things. As long as we stay faithful to God, God will work, perform good works through us. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 16, do not err, my beloved brother. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Coming down from the Father of light, there will be no variable to this, neither shadow of turning. How long will God perform good works through us? Until the day Jesus comes back. God uses saints. He's using us to reach other people. He's using us to further the gospel. This is all about soul salvation. If we have a congregation ever miss the understanding that our mission as a congregation is to save. It's to save soul. That's why God sent his son. That's why his son suffered and died. Let's not ever take our mind off that. With the good works that we're doing is for the purpose and result of saving the soul. That's what he's performing through us. Works that will save soul. Philippians 1 and verse 7, Paul said, even as it is meet for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart. As much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Look at this. Paul's telling the people, these saints, at this congregation in Philippi, I'm always thinking about y'all. I always got you on my mind. As much as both in my bonds and in the defense room. So I'm in prison, I'm locked down, I'm defending the truth, I'm confirming the gospel, and you all are partaking in my grace. He sees it as grace. He sees it as the grace that God has bestowed upon him to be in this situation. What situation is the Apostle Paul in, you ask? What is the conditions of his situation? This is what I want to kind of launch and really hone in on your conditions and your particular situation. Remember, this thing that happened to you, this thing, whatever this thing is, it doesn't happen to you. This thing is your current condition that you're in. I want you to remember that. What was Paul's condition that he was in? Paul's condition was he was in bonds. He was in bond, meaning he was in prison. In bonds mean being shackled, bound, controlled. As a prisoner, he preached and defended the gospel in that condition. The Philippians, they sympathized with him, prayed for him, sustained him by their offers. They were helping him and doing everything they can to help him. They not only did this, but defended and suffered with him. Many of them was preaching the same truth. Many of them was standing with the truth. And that's what happened. Brother Brooks is never standing alone when I got other people who believe just like me. We're standing together, and that's the grace, God, a manner, a graciousness, and gratification that God has bestowed upon us. and have a divine influence in our lives and allow us to include gratitude and favor to us to serve him. Interestingly, Paul wrote several of his letters from a prison cell, a jail cell. He penned the books of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon during his first Roman imprisonment around AD 61 to 63. He wrote his last letter to straight directly to, you may know, his first Second Timothy. He wrote it to Timothy during his final imprisonment before history said he was beheaded. He would die. And while Paul said the time of my departure is at hand, he was in prison. His condition, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. The condition was not good. The prison Paul was in was a kind of a, they call it a dungeon. It was the kind that were dug out of rock, a solid rock, and were underground. And the prisoners, their guards and their provisions were to lower through openings of a hole down to them the size of a manhole. I've looked at History Channel. I've seen some of what these prisons look like. This manhole was only means of entrance and exit. In the Roman colony, the prisoner was under the marketplace. It was down to the ground. Rain and debris from the market could easily fall, and the animals easily dropped in to this house of darkness. And neither animal waste nor that of the prisoner found his way out easily. So he's among feces and things like that, animals, rats. He's a cold dungeon. This is the condition. He's in prison. According to the tradition, the prison in which Paul was held was subterranean. It was built on the site of a stone quarry. The prison itself was essentially two large rooms on different levels with iron shackles fixed to the wall. Paul was in a cold dungeon. His condition, the thing was a condition of imprisonment. History says of this dungeon, it was sunk above 2 feet underground, walls secure on every side, and over it is a vaulted roof connected with the stone arches. But its appearance is disgusting and horrible by reason of filth, darkness, and stench. His condition was not good. Lighting was indeed poor, primarily coming from where they used torches or oil lamps, not like electricity. They have electricity. The light. The guards might have had fire to provide heat in the winter or to cook food. These guards was usually soldiers. Being a prison guard was not an appealing job, was often given to the poor soldiers, and some of the guards were cruel to the prisoners. In particular, ones that were not Roman were defenseless. Under Roman law, if a prisoner escaped, the guard was executed. So the prisoner was shackled, locked to the walls, and their feet had shackles on prison. They were shackled with different lengths of chains so they could move around, or they were secured tightly so that they were causing problems to the walls so they couldn't move. Paul's conditions were not good. What is your condition this morning? These were horrible conditions, and even then, this thing had happened to him. And I'm asking you, what is it? And your condition is not good, and you're feeling it. But I want to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. Paul still had a relationship with God, and he was able to say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." How can you do this, Paul, with your condition? Why? Paul understood that all things work together for good to them that love God. It was about his relationship with God. Paul knew that he was going to die. He knew that there would be an end to his life. Do you know that? Have you prepared for that? Are you ready for the end? Have you faced the reality that one day you will die? Have you prepared to meet your God? We sing that song, Prepare to Meet That God. Why are we singing that? We sing that song because we believe, as the Bible says, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. We've been called by the gospel to save our soul. And this life was not promised to us as a life that would not have conditions, that would a life that things wouldn't happen to us. He didn't promise that. What God promised us is rest after this life. And so we live with understanding that we're preparing to meet God and to one day be at peace with God and the rest from our labors. That's why we are to be faithful unto death. That's why Jesus makes the appeal to call mankind to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is all the end of the day. The rest, the calmness coming to us based on that relationship, based on the promises God made. Yes, with all these horrible conditions, Paul used the word joy. Can you? Have you lost sight that God has blessed you and you're partakers of his grace? The church at Philippi was partakers of Paul's grace. When he was in prison, they supported him. All of us need support to deal with the prison bars of our life. As I make application this morning, I want to ask, who on the call this morning with a heavy heart and the thing has come upon you? You're going through it. You're in this prison. You're in these bonds. You're shackled. Your situation, your conditions. You would change them if you had the power. That's the person I'm trying to reach. And I have a sense to think that all of us are kind of like that. I feel that way. If there are some things that has happened that I would change, there are things that I've gone through that I wouldn't have gone through if I had control. But God let us go through what he let me go through. But can you say, as a Christian, I've had this attitude here that Brother Brooks is trying to present to you from Apostle Paul. Now, I can still have joy. Remember, as a child, when you little kids, we have BBS, joy, 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 down in my heart. Down in my heart. That song we've learned as kids, there's joy inside. You know, I may cry on outside. Tears may flow down my eyes, from my eyes down my face. I can still rejoice always. I can have this calm delight because of our relationship. So think about the thing. I'm going to list some things that could have happened. Hopefully one of them I'll touch you with it. But Paul had this mindset. He was able to find joy and peace in the conditions, the thing. He said in verse 8, for God is my record. God meaning my witness. God can tell you. He's telling them, God is my witness, God is my record. How greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Paul? God knows my heart. Paul was saying, God knows how much he longed and yearned on the inside for this congregation. Paul says, in the bowels of Jesus Christ, or with the affection of Jesus, He longed with them. Listen to his prayer while he was in his prison, while he was in his bonds. He said, and this I pray, verse 9, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. How many of you just want more and more knowledge of God? You love learning. You love hearing the word taught. You can't wait to get on, so I need a word from the Lord. He said, I pray that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ. Verse 11, being filled with fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. This thing happened to him, these bonds he's in. He had a goal for that congregation, that their love for the Lord would grow more and more as we grow in knowledge. And I have the same love, the same prayer for this congregation I serve, and we should, that you grow in more and more knowledge. I hope over the last 2 years, since you've been having to sit down and really listen to sermons, going to classes, Greek classes, or going to Bible classes, calling in and listening, and you've done more than you would have had if you'd had to drive to the building. You've heard the word more and more. You've grown in knowledge. You've got the call, all the gospel calls, all the every day during the week calls, and you did everything. You got more knowledge. My prayer is that you love the fact that you have this knowledge. See, when we have proper knowledge, like I'm talking about this morning, you can go through the thing. Because in your heart, you know you have information from God, that you hear God speak to you through his word. You're hearing him talk to you through the manservant, through the man of God, not me, but the words that I'm reading from the scripture coming and permeating in your mind and your life, penetrating your mind. The Bible itself is impregnated with all kind of information that can touch you at a time and situation. You think I'm talking directly to you, or so I know something about you. No, it's the word. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the body and son of the joint, thoughts and marrow, joints and marrow, thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrew writer says. And we can be sincere and without offense when you know that you have a sound congregation, you're among sound teaching. It's calmness coming with that. Paul said he was filled with fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ and to the glory and praise of God. Filled with fruits of righteousness. A fruit is known by its, a tree is known by its fruit. And this congregation, they were living it. They were not only just talking it, they were living it. And I hope that's the way you feel about us as a congregation. Not only do we talk salvation, we talk it, we act it out. That's our primary goal. And the congregation is to save someone's soul, starting with your own. But we must live righteous life and produce fruits of righteousness. What better way to glorify God than living a life, righteous life? Let's go to verse 12. As I move toward the application I'd like to make this morning, he said, but I would you should understand. And he's telling them, I said all of that. But I want you to understand, brother. Here it is right here at my top. That the things which happen unto me, plurality, the things that happen to you. Paul says, they know what he's talking about. They visit him. They've seen his condition. They understand imprisonment. They understand what, and they're sad because of it. But he says, had rather I fallen out rather unto the furtherness of the gospel. Look at that. Verse 13, so that in my bonds are manifest in all the palace, in all other palaces. Paul wanted them to understand that being in prison did not hinder his sharing of the truth. The things that have happened to him did not cause him to lose sight of the mission of Christ coming to the world and that was to save his soul. And his mission was to be a preacher of the cross. The cross being preached from a dungeon cell. These things had come up on Paul. And he wanted them to know that I'm okay. Because being locked up here and giving me a chance to preach to everyone coming around me in this palace, and the palace is around, meaning Praetorian, the place where they were locked up. It should be clear to all of our friends and family who are not members of the Church of Christ that we speak the truth in love, and that we will continue to share with them in love the truth as we believe it according to the Scripture. Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said that in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation. The only one that believe it. To the Jew first, and also the Greek. Romans 1:16. Paul, in verse 14, he said, many of the brethren in the Lord are waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul being in prison made some of the brethren more bold to speak. They want to stand up for the truth. And we encourage others by the way we deal with our prison conditions. People watching you when you're going through the situation you're going through, the things that have come upon you personally, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, your family, your children are watching how you deal with these things. Yeah, they're doing it. And some of them going to be encouraged. You know, my mama hung in there. My dad hung in there. I seen it all go down. I seen some of the things that came up on them. But they was able to find joy and remain faithful to the Lord. And that's what Paul was saying. Waxing confident by my bones. Because they saw me, they're much more bold to speak the word without fear. When you look at what people go through, you can say, man, if Brother Brooks can do that, I can do that. So if Brother so can go through it, I can make it. Because you're looking at others who are going through difficult times. Somebody said, you think you got it bad, look around. Not everyone don't understand this joy and rejoicing that Paul is talking about. Only those who understand the things that have come upon you can further the gospel. Paul says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bond. Paul said, everybody, the preacher, I know I don't have right motive, we know that. Some were envious of Paul, and some were doing it to bring more affliction upon him. Too often today we see this all around these preachers and with all these wrong motives. Some preacher proclaiming the fortune, making money on people. Some just want to do it for the limelight. They preaching Christ, but they're not doing it with the right motives. But Paul was preaching out of love. He was saying, my joy comes from knowing what the Lord has done for me. And I want others to experience the joy. And here's how he do it. Verse number 7. He said, he preached out of love. The other out of love. That was, he identified the right kind of preacher. Other of love. Knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And Paul put his category. See, Brother Brooks, have to love God before I can talk about that. I have to love him myself. And love God and love the souls of mankind. You love God, his son, his soul. You preach for the sole purpose of saving souls. You know, sometimes I've heard people, I had a preacher introduce me one time. He said, this guy here, he preached the gospel even at a funeral. It was intended to be put down on me. I didn't take it that way. That was a compliment. Why you say that, Brother Brooks? Because I am at a funeral, even when people have lost their loved ones. That's the greatest opportunity to save their soul in love. You have to speak the truth in love. Paul says that I'm sent for the defense. I'm going to defend the truth. the gospel. Then verse 18 said, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth. Paul said, they can do it. He said, Christ is preached. I dare you rejoice. Yeah, we'll rejoice. There are words again. Then somebody mentioned in Christ, Paul said, just if their motives are wrong, the fact that they mention Christ brings joy to him. What is the benefit of being Christ being preached? It's going to get people out of these prisons. So my question is more to you. What's your bond? What has happened? What things have happened to you? What's your prison? What's shackling you? Maybe it's the prisons of sin, the things related to sinful acts, and you're suffering the consequences of them, of these sinful acts. Is that it? What are those things related to? Is it because of sin, mistakes you made, and you're beating yourself up now? And man, I wish I had just done better. It's not too late. It's not too late to know that you can still right now get out of that prison. You don't have to go through depression. You can be forgiven. You can start over. You can have a new beginning. You can find joy. And you can rejoice and learn from your situation. And when you do that, you learn to have this calm delight within you. But you got to get right with God. Maybe you're trapped in your own prison of depression because it seems like you're going through a lot of stuff right now. A lot of things are going on with you. You don't understand. Why am I going through all this? And you're in a depressed state of mind. You said, Brother Brooks, I just don't understand why all this at one time. You know what Apostle Paul was kind of like at one time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. Then he said what it was. Some say, he don't say, well, yeah, dude. He said, 2 Corinthians 12 to 7, he said, it was given me a thorn in the flesh. Then he tell you what it is. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep punching me. Just some stuff. We understand that the devil don't want us to be saved. He don't want you to accept the forgiveness of God. He wants you to have this thorn, this thing sticking you to the point where he just feel like he's buffeting you. You're about to give up. You're about to let go. But to leave God, maybe you left God, you left the church, you haven't been faithful because you just, this thing is above measure, more than I can take. You know, the only person that wants you to give up is the Satan. The messenger of Satan will buffet you. It's nothing but spiritual warfare we're in. That's the 2 Corinthians 12, 7. Go and read it. Maybe you're trapped in the condition that you have. It's a prison cell of your own. You can't forgive yourself. You can't move on. You can't forgive others. You keep harping on the mistake you made. It's in your past. You can't change it. You can't make it better. You can't make it worse. So you have to look at the things that have come upon you. And these things you got to be released from, so that you can experience joy in your life. Release it doesn't mean the conditions change. It's the mind change. Your mind has to change. If somebody comes this morning, on the call this morning, you really need to make a change in your life because these conditions, these things that have come upon you, you're going through all kind of stuff, you find yourself in the same old spiritual rut you've been in for a long time. You're trying to get out. You're tired of this same living this life that you know is not pleasing to God. Are you tired of finding yourself sitting in the same spot, not getting anywhere? Is there somebody who said this thing, these things that happened to me? Are you recognizing your own prison by choice? You're in there. And do you find yourself blaming God? The things that have come up on you. to stop. So my encouragement is that when you change your mind, you'll stop blaming God. You'll stop blaming everybody else for your mistakes. You'll stop blaming everyone else for your stagnations or for your falls or for your failures. And when you change your mind and you start finding joy, as Paul has found with God, then you admit the problem is because you, in your relationship with God, you can come out, my brother, my sister. Maybe if somebody, it's happening, you've been shackled, or something is controlling you, seems like it's controlling you. Maybe you just got to look at the shackle and admit that it's because I'm weak. It's because I wasn't going to worship, because I wasn't studying, I fell to the wayside. It's because you made the decision. Your mind got to change. These things have happened to you, but you just come back to the Lord and find joy. Maybe you're on the verge of giving up, or you tried over and over to stop this particular sin or something in your life, and now you just seem like it's controlling you. It's shackled. It doesn't happen to you. It's controlling you. You have nowhere else to turn. Maybe you're depressed or stressed out from burdens and troubles that life has presented to you. Or maybe you feel like your life is heading down a dead-end street, and you joined the call this morning just say, man, what? I need a word from the Lord. Something needs to change. Why me? What's going on? These things have come upon me. These things have happened to you. Even Job said, this thing has come upon me. Remember, he lost everything. Sores all over his body. Death of his children. Back-to-back blows that he had. And he was able to say, just like Paul, this thing has happened to me. Well, where are you at this morning? What has happened to you? What is the thing that has happened to you? I hope you got it in mind. I hope you're thinking with me this morning. If there's someone who needs to be released from maybe the prison of addictions or drugs, or crippled from and lame from the drugs, or substance abuse, or whatever it is, and something else you talk, you put in the sober, you need to sober up your thought, but you thought the route was to go to get the relief, and the next morning you got the same problem. You went to the wrong direction. You went the wrong way. Don't you know that God wants you to come to Him? This thing may have happened to you. These things have come upon you. Maybe you're shackled by some sex addiction or sin that will take you down. You know, if you don't get out of this adultery, fornication, homosexuality, whatever it is, you already know you can't be saved that way. You know that. Or maybe you need to come out of your prison cells of darkness. There's a deep, dark place you're in, and you need a release, and I don't know what it is, but you and God know. You and God know that this thing has come upon you, and you got to get out of this place, or you're going to go down. Maybe it's nothing you've done wrong. Maybe it's not anything that had nothing to do with sin in your life. It just, perhaps you just had too many deaths in your family. And you're feeling it. You're feeling it mentally. You're feeling it spiritually. You're feeling it physically. It's leading you to dark, deep depression or grief. Or maybe it's loneliness. It's not that you want to be by yourself. But your husband left, your wife left you alone. Or you know there's some strain in the relationship and creates this loneliness when you're all alone by yourself. You don't have that mate to give you the care and love that you need. And you often wonder, what happened? How did I get in this situation where I'm with a man or a woman that don't love me? Like that. not something you've done wrong. It's a condition that you're in. It's a situation. The things that come upon you. Or maybe you was a caretaker, you know, and you had to watch the person you love suffer or go through it. And even when they died, you couldn't cry no more because you cried so much leading up to it. You pre-grieved, that they call it. And you feel the pain, the mental pain, the struggle that has come upon you. Or maybe through this whole pandemic, you had to make a whole lot of adjustments. It wasn't your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. But this thing, these things have come upon you. These things have happened. Maybe you've been abandoned. You feel abandoned by your family, your children. They're not there for you like you thought they would be. Or your child is gone astray. It's like, man, where did I go wrong? You didn't do that. They make their own choices and decisions. But these things happen to all families. It happened to the best of a father, to the best of a mother. But you can still have joy. See, because when you lay down at night, it's God who watches over that child. And you may cry and plead and ask prayer, please pray for my son, pray for my daughter. But when you lay down at night, you got to believe that God is in control. And God will watch over your children. Or God will answer the prayers of the righteous, because they avail it much. And you can have a calm delight. Well, I turn it over to God. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's sickness in your body. You know, it's, I'm getting older. I'm dealing with a lot of sicknesses in my body. It's not something you would desire. It's not something you ask for. But it's happening. These things have happened to you. You know, you can't do what you used to do. You can't go where you used to go. You can't do the things you used to do. But yet, what you can do is have joy. You can say, I rejoice in the Lord no matter what. Maybe it's a marital problem that it wasn't your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. Now you're headed to the divorce court or whatever. And you see, you don't understand why. How did I get here? What happened? I believe there's two sides to every story. It takes two to tango. It takes two to make a marriage. So what can you do? What can you do with conditions like this? Rejoice in the Lord always. Because you're in bonds. You are going through it. But things are coming upon you. Death surrounds you, surrounds your family, surrounds us every day in the world, and oppress you if you ain't got this inner joy. You're not ready for it. And that's why I chose this book. You see, if Paul, in all the conditions, even up to the point of being getting ready to die and be beheaded, he was still able to write his last letter to Timothy. It says, hey, time on the porch is at hand. But he said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. His force is laid up for me, a crown of righteousness, not for me only. He said, for all dear men love God, love his appearing. That's me and you. 2 Timothy 4:6, chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. He's ready to be offered. His time is the parchment at hand. And he wrote the Timothy. He understood. And my fight has been good. Have your fight been good? Here's how you make your fight good. Rejoice in the Lord always. Please. And again, I say, rejoice. Fight the good fight. Hold to the relationship with God. Finish the course of your life. And whatever you do, never leave the truth. Keep the faith. And one day, you'll get a crown of life. One day, you'll get to see God's face. And he'll say, well done. One day, you'll see the walls of Jasper. See the street of gold. You'll be with God. And God will wipe away all tears from your eyes. The Lamb of God will be in the midst of the throne. And God will be there. There'll be no more hunger, no more thirst, none of that. No more pain, none of this stuff we're going through in this life. Well, those were the things that happened to us in this life. But none of that will exist when we were with God. And he's promised that to us. So are you happy? Do you have joy? Do you see your blessing? What is your blessing? That you are a child of God. If you're on the call this morning and you're not a Christian, what do you do, Brother Brooke? What do I do? I want this. I want this inner peace. Because these things are happening to me. Now you're ready. You're ready to believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. Do you believe that without seeing it with your eyes? Do you believe that they actually took him and murdered him, executed him by crucifixion? Do you believe that with all your heart? Because that's what the Bible teaches. He wore a crown of thorns. They drove nails in his hands and feet. It teaches that he was on the cross. He was in a place called Calvary, the place of the skull, Golgotha, between the two thieves. You read about the story. You heard it. Do you believe it, though? If you believe it, then that's, you've taken the first two steps. You got to hear it. You got to believe it. That's found in Acts 15, verse 7, Romans 10, 17, Hebrews 11, 6. You got to believe. Now, if you believe it, go to the third step. That is repent. Say, you know what? I don't want to live like this no more, Brother Brooks. I want out of the prison. I want to be in prison with peace, at least, with a calmness, a joy, a relationship with God. Then change your mind this morning. Say, I do want that. Then be willing to make a confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what he told us to do. Will you do that this morning? Are you ashamed that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Like 10:32, Jesus said, he didn't confess me before me. He did not confess before my Father. He did not need I deny him. That's what Jesus said. Don't do that. You got to be willing to confess. Confess. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when you make that noble confession, you have to be baptized after that. Well, what is baptism for? The remission of sin. Your confession of faith is done with your mouth. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're saying, I believe it. And you're telling me I'm not ashamed to say it. Romans 10:10. With the heart man believing unto righteousness, with the mind confession made unto salvation. After baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Baptism is where you sin, you contact the blood of Jesus, and your sins are washed away. The Lord adds you to the church. You got to be baptized. Jesus commanded in Mark 16:15-16. In Matthew 28:18, he gave the great commission, go teach all the nations, baptizing them. Don't fight the truth. Obey the truth. Then the Lord would add you to the only church in the Bible. It's number one, the church of Christ. That's the only one it is. Why wouldn't you obey this morning? So you can have that joy, that calm, the light. And you'll be able to go through these things that are happening to you. Talk more about that this afternoon. Some things happening to you. But Paul understood why. Do you? I hope I reach this morning. If you want to be baptized, hit 5-star on your phone. We'll take care of that for you. If you're a member of the church and you've been caught up in this kind of thinking, things are happening to you. Now, hopefully, you can have a calmness about you. Yeah, but I'm a child of God. And God said, I'll never leave you. Neither will I forsake you. Perhaps you want to come on and say, you've sinned, or made a confession, you've fallen short. Maybe you want to repent. Or maybe you want to restore back to the Lord. Here's 5-star. Say, man, I'm coming home this morning, brother. It's okay. Come on home. Or maybe somebody say, I just need y'all to pray with me, pray for me as I deal with the things that happened to me. We want to pray with you and pray for you. If we can help you in any of the ways I've mentioned, you can do it as we sing the song that occurred to me. 5-star your phone, and I'll facilitate. We'll take your request. Thank you.